God wants moms to be strong and courageous. Do you believe that? Sure he does. I mean, how many times does God have to repeat it when he says to his people, be strong and courageous? He keeps repeating those thoughts. And that's men and women. It is young people. Be strong and courageous. We started out with those words. It's like Joshua was given the charge, God said to him, be strong and courageous. Now, in case you didn't get it, I'll say it in the next verse. Be strong and courageous. And in case you didn't get it, about four verses later, I'll tell you once again, be strong and courageous. Old Testament and New Testament, God says to us as followers of Christ, be strong and courageous. So what is a strong and courageous mom all about? Does she flex her guns? Is that the deal? Is she strong, really strong, in some other ways? I remember my mom said to me, she said, I'm so thankful that all the years that you four were growing up, I never got sick. So I guess, was she strong and courageous? I don't know if she was exaggerating, but she was very thankful that she never got sick. But I don't know that that made her a strong and courageous mom. A strong and courageous mom, from the very beginning, is beginning to say to her children, one way or the other, they say, you're responsible for God. You're responsible ultimately for the way you live your life. You're responsible for the way you respond to difficult circumstances. You're strong and courageous on the inside, even when it seems like your knees are knocking, because life is kind of scary, and things aren't going the way we necessarily planned for them to go. I remember when we were in the doctor's office, the pediatrician's office, when our oldest, Nate, was born, and 3 months in, he had a really, really, really scary beginning. 3 months old. Over the next few months, and I remember this distinctly, when we sat before the pediatric nurse, and now Nate was about 3 years old, and the pediatric nurse asked Nate a question, and Marilyn answered for him. And she said, excuse me, I'd like to talk to him. Don't start answering for your three-year-old. Don't start answering and going to bat when your son comes home and says, I don't like my teacher. She's being mean to me. She doesn't love me. And the mom says, well, you're going to have to work things out with her. And when the coach doesn't put your son in the football game or the baseball game, or your daughter is not playing, getting the starting time on her volleyball team, she doesn't rush in to say, what's wrong with my kid? Strong and courageous moms, when they're struggling with questions about God and wonder, is this all for real? I don't know that I like your church. I don't know that I like your religion. Where does she send them? Where does she point them? Strong and courageous moms. You know, Luke read some scripture. Johann read some scripture today about a strong grandma and a strong mom who taught their son, Timothy, to go to God's word for answers. So that when Timothy heard about Christ from the Apostle Paul, he responded to what Paul said? No, to what God said in his word. I want you to take your notes. This is not just for this. You can have Susanna sign the front page of your notes, but there are five really important questions, at least four, questions 2 through 4 on the back, and just a very, very simple outline. But we're going to be looking at Scripture once again, and I want to pray before we go any further. Our Heavenly Father, lead us now. May we make the most of this time by paying attention to you and your word. This is your word, and you never leave us to our own devices. And for that, I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. Lord, keep us on track. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This outline is very, very simple. Strong and courageous moms have a mission. They are on mission. Strong and courageous moms as well are, they pray like crazy. They pray like crazy. Strong and courageous moms let go of their kids. As a matter of fact, they make a practice of letting go all their lives. Letting go. Strong and courageous moms don't mother their children. They don't smother their children. They teach them where to go for the answers. God's word and God himself. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is one of the family verses, or the family sections. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 9. Follow along in your Bibles as I read. And have your Bibles open all the time. If you're going to be a woman of God, you've got to stay close to God's word. You have to stay close. From the time you're young until you're all the way through your oldest years and your last breath. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house. Let your children know the lives we live are accountable to God. Our lives are all about Him. And we know what is important to Him. When we meditate on His word, how often? Sunday mornings. Well, that'd be a good time. Day and night. Day and night. If you've got some time other than day and night, go ahead, that's your time. But moms who are strong and courageous meditate on God's word. They are moms on a mission. And the mission begins on their own hearts as they bow before the Lord, as they consume truth about Him. As the word of God is embedded in their hearts and minds. Listen, they're on mission. From the time they're young moms, maybe young teens, like we have here. Young lives. God's word is being impressed on a mom's heart. And her mission is to make sure that her kids know this word of God is going to have to be embedded upon your mind and your soul. You are not going to have me with you all the time. You're not going to have me with you when you're challenged. Don't say you've got me in your heart. No, that's a place for the Lord God Almighty. Make sure you are spending time with him, my dear child, and you're absorbing what God's word has to say. Loving moms are on a mission. What does that mission look like? It's a life of obedience to God. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of showing their children what's really important to them. Really important to them. It's a life that is dedicated to God, just like I dedicated you to God. Hannah's life, oh man, the first two chapters of 1 Samuel chapter 1, I've read it through a lot of times, and over the years, and sometimes I wonder what was this lady like. She was the wife of a Levite. This is at the end of the days of the judges, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Her husband Elkanah was a Levite, and it just seemed like he was never going to be elevated to his time as a priest. But she, right at the end of this time of judges, along comes the last of the judges and the first of the prophets, Samuel. She prayed. Oh, she was a woman whose heart was really broken. Her husband had two wives. That didn't seem to be the issue. But the issue happened to be the one that had a child. And she didn't have any children. Hannah didn't. Her heart was, today we talk about babies as throwaway things. If they're convenient, well, then you keep them in your womb. A woman was not complete. Across time was not complete, it seemed like. In terms of values, I don't have anything to talk about with the other ladies because I don't have a child. And I don't have a husband. Hannah had a husband, and Penuel had a husband. But Penuel had these children, and she's rubbing it. She's just rubbing that fact into the nose of Hannah. And Hannah was brokenhearted, and she prayed. And she prayed. And she said, God, if you give me a child, give me a son. Give me a son. And I will give him back to you. I will dedicate him 100% to you. What do you call that? It was a vow. I'm going to give my son to you. This is not a mom who said, I've got a son. By the way, Priscilla just became a grandma for the first time. She's not here. She's all worn out as a grandma already. And she had, what's her grandson's name? Jameson, yeah. She was, what's that? Jameson Kingsley Lawhead. Oh, no, Wong. So she, congratulations, Priscilla. I know you must be listening. You know, this child, I don't know what if what the parents now, they see in this child a professional football player or a doctor or an attorney or a teacher. Hannah said, he's yours, Lord, to be a priest before you. And I'll give him to you. I'll give him to you as soon as he's weaned. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She takes this son that she prayed for, but she promised God she would give him to him. She had this child, Samuel, and she took him at 3 years old to where the temple was, where the tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's promise to his people, was at Shiloh. And she journeyed with her son. His father, Elkanah, could have canceled the vow out. That was what the law of God said. He could have said, no, we're going to keep him until he's older. Let's let him be a teenager. Let's let him go through his bar mitzvah, you know, and then he'll be okay. No. 3 years old, she takes him and she presents him. She presents him to Eli, the guy who couldn't manage his own family, his own wicked priestly sons. And she gives him to God's service at 3 years old. Sounds nuts? No. She made a promise to God. And God had a reason as to why he put that on her heart to do that very thing. She was a mom on a mission. And that mission, whether she realized it or not, was to have a son whose word would be precious, whose word would be proclaimed. She had a son. She didn't know it. Who would be a prophet, who would stand before the first king that he appointed, not just God, but that Samuel appointed. He would stand before him and said, the Lord's blessing is no longer on you. And the God who made you king is going to take you out. And he was the prophet who would appoint King David as the next king, and would lay down the markers for each one of those kings. This was a mom on a mission, and she may not have known at all as to what was going on, but she was on a mission. I think of some of the things that some of you wrote about your mom. Let me just share a couple of these things. By the way, all of these people were women who wrote these. Guys, did you get your mom a Mother's Day card? I didn't ask you if you had somebody else get it for you, like her. Did you go out and purchase a Mother's Day card? I remember one year I forgot, and my mom said, you'll never do that again. This was written, my mother has left a legacy of loving the Word of God, studying it, and teaching it to her family and to the women and children in her church. She also has shown her family how to care for people by reaching out and connecting with people with phone calls, letters, or a lunch invitation. Someone else wrote, my mom's legacy was her musical ability and love for music. She passed it down to all of her kids. She's also fun and crazy person. Her faith in the Lord, even through the hard things in life. Someone else writes, my mother's legacy, devotion to family, love for thy neighbor, and for children, brothers, sisters, cousins, until death. Someone else writes, "My mother left a legacy of love for her, for God, the importance of prayer and dependence upon God, the importance of family and each member, and knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior." Another person writes, "My mother's legacy is love and grace." Someone else, "My mother was my best friend. She loved to laugh. She volunteered in so many different places. She always stood by me and encouraged me and the rest of our family." And lastly, "My mom loved the Lord with all of her being, and she was bedridden for the last 5 years of her life before the Lord took her home. But she always was praising the Lord. She taught me to never question whatever happened in my life, because the Lord knew what was best for me." I wonder, when Samuel was a little kid and all that was going on around him, I wonder if he thought, "Why did my mother do this to me?" I guess I wouldn't be surprised, but we don't have that record. But she was on mission, raising a son who would be who would have a ministry to us today, as it comes down to us through the one who breathed God's word into his prophet. Moms who are strong and courageous are also, they also pray like crazy. Now, I'm not going to read all this. I've enjoyed reading over and again these chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. That text that Johann read from 1 Samuel chapter 1. As she promised, he's going to be basically a Nazarite. She didn't use that term, but she said a razor will never touch his head. I was not a Nazarite. There was a time when I had just a ton of hair. She prayed like crazy. As a matter of fact, when she prayed, Levi, the priest, thought she was drunk, crazy drunk. Why would she? Because she'd been praying this prayer that she was going to dedicate her son to the Lord. "Give me a son, and I'll give him back to you." And she was with her husband when they went up to Shiloh to go to the temple. Every year they would do this. And she's sitting there. I don't know if she was raising her hands, but what she was doing clearly was, without muttering words, she was mouthing the words that she was praying. She was mouthing these words, and Levi thought, and he called her out on it. "Why are you coming to this place drunk? Crazy." And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart." And he said, "Well, the Lord grant you whatever it is that whatever you want, may the God give that to you. Blessings, go in peace." Well, she got that blessing must have worked, because God did bless her womb, and she conceived and bore this son. Chapter 2, and we won't read through this. This is just a wonderful prayer. Chapter 2, the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Read it through. But what I would say this about this, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, is a prayer of recognizing the sovereignty of God over everything. What does it mean, sovereignty? The fact that he's the boss, he rules, he's in charge, and she is. And this is one of the most spiritually astute prayers. Read it through, and read it through again, and read it through again. She is just, as she's praying, this woman of God is expressing deep deep truth. Gordon MacDonald, a pastor out in the Boston area many years ago, wrote an article about deep people, saying deep people, I'll just never forget this, deep people are not necessarily people who are theological brainiacs. Deep people are people who organize their lives around Christ. Deep people organize their lives around an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. And strong and courageous moms organize their lives around their personal relationship with God. What does that mean? The day is yours, Lord. Thank you so much for a good night's sleep. I didn't expect to get that last night, but thank you. Well, my kids might say it wasn't enough, but thank you. Thanks that I stirred a lot. But thank you. Organizing her life around gratitude toward God and a recognition of what he knows and puts into our hands, gives to our attention. He gives that to us. Thanks, Lord, for not leaving me in the dark. I think, let me read the first three verses of chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2. See, you might have to turn in your Bibles now. Hannah prayed and said this. This is after the birth of Samuel. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. That is, there is no one holy like, and she uses the name of God. The name of God. There is no one holy like Yahweh. Yahweh. His covenant name. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For Yahweh is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. She calls God by his name, and she wouldn't use that name unless she knew who she was speaking to. This was a woman who organized her life around him in a precious relationship with him. This, all 10 of these verses, is part of this prayer. Reflects such a deep relationship with him, and her life was organized around that truth and that relationship. Finally, women, a mom who is strong and courageous makes a practice of letting go rather than mothering or smothering her child. I mean, have you ever known a woman so dedicated to the Lord that she would do something like she did, make a vow like she did, and she surrendered her child, putting him even in this rugged situation, she would surrender him, knowing that God would have a plan for him that would go way beyond what she could ever, ever imagine. God would be preparing a man of God, a prophet of God. He would be preparing someone who would so listen to the voice of God, not dictating words to put into scripture, but pressing upon his heart as God would communicate to him. truth that would shape our lives today. Truth that would be impressed upon the heart of our Savior Jesus, the God-man who poured himself out of heaven. This godly mom let go of him. And year after year, about the same time, she would sew an ephod, a garment. As he would grow, she would take this up to Shiloh, up to the time of worship when she and her husband went up for their yearly pilgrimage to Shiloh. And she would take that robe and present it to her son, impressing upon him, you now are a man with a mission, and you are on mission. Imagine what it was like. He puts this robe on year after year, and his mother communicates to him, you're not like other boys. You're on a mission. Imagine what it was like that night when young Samuel, probably a teenager, probably an adolescent or younger, and he's awakened in the middle of the night. Did I just hear a voice? Was that Eli calling my name? And he rushed into where Eli was sleeping, and he said, what did you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Just go back to bed. And he went back to bed, and he went to sleep. A little later, once again, he's awakened. Eli. Oh, excuse me, Samuel. Samuel, wake up. And he rushed into Eli, and he said, what did you want? I heard you speaking my name. He said, no, it wasn't me. Maybe the Lord's trying to communicate with you something. Well, if that's the case, ask what he wants. Ask God what he wants, and you tell me in the morning exactly what he said. Once again, as the night went on, Samuel's awakened. Samuel, speak, Lord. And the Lord said, he said, that priest is found wanting. And I'm going to take this role from him. And when Samuel went back, got up the next morning, can you imagine? After, you know, he hasn't had a lot of contact with his mom over the years, apart from the fact she keeps bringing these clothes, and she says, listen. And Eli said, listen, and tell me what he said. And he said, he had to tell Eli, you're going down. You are going down. And it's going to be you and your sons are going down. It's over for you. And it was a tragic loss for a family. To lose two sons and the priestly father in one moment. But this courageous young man who was being prepared all these years. And God would continue to speak to him. This all happened as a mom learned, like every strong and courageous mom, learned to listen and teach her children to listen carefully to the voice of God over all the other countless voices today. Every strong and courageous mom teaches her children to listen themselves to God as they let go. And it's a difficult thing for moms, isn't it? To let go. But if you're strong and courageous, you know you have to. So you better get used to it from that first visit with the pediatrician to the closing chapter of your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that there's so much that you want to communicate to us. And it's chapter after chapter in your word, and chapter after chapter in our lives. Thank you, Father, that, sometimes it's just more than difficult to take it all in at one time. I thank you that you leave us with the Holy Spirit. And not only do you leave us, you leave our children that have begun to know you intimately, and our grandchildren, that your word and your spirit is ever with them. And Lord, on behalf of all moms here today, I pray that you would bless them, especially with the confidence that you are at work as always in the world. Even as we sang this today, you're always working. You never stop working. And I thank you, Lord, that that's the way it is for our kids and their kids and their kids after them. Lord, make them strong and courageous, and continue to make every one of our moms and aunties and aunts and friends, all these precious women in our lives, may they be, each one, be strong and courageous in Christ. And it's his name that we pray. And everyone said, amen.